There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal.
Welcome to No Mere Mortals Cover to Cover Series. The Cover to Cover Series is a chronological journey through the moments in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, centered on the main character of Jesus Christ. In 2020, the Lord directed the start of the Cover to Cover Series that originally began as weekly installments for Sunday morning youth teachings at a local church. In 2023, the Cover to Cover Series will move to being a podcast series, and Lord willing, will continue to be weekly installments.
Father, we thank you for this time in your word. Lord, I just pray that as we open up your word, we would experience you through your word by your spirit. That, Lord, by experiencing you, we would learn your heart, learn about more of who you are to ultimately become more and more like you. In your son's name, amen. You guys can have a seat. So again, guys, as we've been going through and now have come to the book of Deuteronomy, you might go, well, then why are we going back to the book of Numbers? And again, we'll explain that in just a second. But as we head into the book of Deuteronomy, we saw last week by chapter 4, is this book that is Moses once again explaining the law to the people of Israel before they go into the promised land. And that in doing so, it could be easy to just kind of skip over and to kind of gloss over, because you might think, well, I've heard a lot of these things before. This isn't new. But unlike any other book in Scripture up to this point, the book of Deuteronomy will use the word love more than any other. That this is a book that, yes, it's the second law, but it's God coding it in love. And again, what we saw last week is to listen to this message of love, to hear it, see it, hold on to it, and to live in it. That Jesus in the New Testament will say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And those being tied, that it is God's heart, his character, given to us in the imperative, but all for us to know love. We saw last week that by the time we got to the end of it, is to understand that this Christian life we're called to live, it's not one of guilt, that even the law being given was not intended to bring guilt, but in fact to bring us to a place that this Christian life that we live is to know God, who he is, who he has called us to be, by the cross, who he has made us to be, and to live a life of gratitude. Now, as we've been moving through Scripture, we came across in the book of Exodus, something called the Book of the Covenant. And the purpose of the Book of the Covenant was to apply real-life situations and principles laid out in the Ten Commandments. And what we saw is that, again, this covenant code from God, who is the perfect moral absolute, and that the law was intended to illustrate the application of his character to any and all cultural situations, for the individual and really for all people. And that this is not something that then is to become a performance-based relationship, that it's not about performance, but that the performance demonstrates a belief in the name of the Lord and his completed restitution for his children. And while we were going through Exodus and we came across the Decalogue and then the Book of the Covenant, is that in Exodus chapter 21 we read this: he who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. However, if he did not lie in wait, but God delivered him into his hand, then I will appoint for you a place where he may flee. But if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. And that right there, as we saw in the beginning with the Book of the Covenant and this conduct code, is that what God was doing is establishing the difference between murder and justified killing, that not all killing is murder. And the fact that he brings up the fact that something that was an accident, it wasn't premeditated, something that was also just neglect, that he didn't count that as murder, but that in fact he goes as far as to say something very, very clear: murderers are to be put to death, period. And again, we see that this is, once again, from God's own character, that God is not a murderer, as he gives in the Ten Commandments, that you should not kill, you shall not murder. The word is murder there. It's very specific. It's not just any and all. It's because it's part of his character that he is saying, now you are to have as my image bearers this character, and that not all killing is seen as murder. Now, in Deuteronomy, where we left off in chapter 4, verse 41, I'm going to pick up for you guys real quick before we get to Numbers, and you'll see why. It's because where we've come in Deuteronomy is that at this moment, Moses is about to establish the three sanctuary cities on the east side of the Jordan. But Moses got those instructions. Remember, when we were coming into this book, he actually got the instructions for how he was supposed to set up those cities back in Numbers. So we're going to read through Numbers 35, where God was instructing Moses how to go about that. And we're going to see even how Deuteronomy 19 gets pulled into this, but that where we are chronologically, as we've been moving through, is that Moses has now given the explanation for what his purpose is, of why he's talking to the people before they go into the promised land. But remember, three tribes wanted to stay back. And so back in Numbers, God says, well, then these sanctuary cities, they're going to need these. And so at this moment in Deuteronomy, where we are in chapter 4, Moses is establishing and giving to the people the instructions to establish these cities that we're told about in Numbers. So Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 41 through 43 says, then Moses set apart three cities on this side of the Jordan toward the rising of the sun, that the manslayer might flee there who kills his neighbor unintentionally without having hated him in time past, and that by fleeing to one of these cities, he might live. Bezer in the wilderness on the plateau for the Reubenites, Ramoth in Gilead for the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan for the Manassites. And with that, guys, now hopefully you're looking with me, Numbers chapter 35, starting in verse 9 is where we're going to pick up. So Numbers 35, verse 9 says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person accidentally may flee there. Numbers 19 is going to give us the other side. Remember, right now he's establishing the three on the east side. And Numbers is going to talk about the six cities and kind of lean more on those on the east side. But then he's also, in Deuteronomy 19, going to kind of round it out for him for the other sides once they get into the land. Deuteronomy 19 says this, when the Lord your God has cut off the nations whose land the Lord your God has given you, and you disposes of them and dwell in their cities and in their houses, you shall separate three cities for yourself in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God is giving to you to possess. You shall prepare roads for yourself, and divide into three parts the territory of your land, which the Lord your God has given you to inherit, that the manslayer may flee there. Now, right from the beginning of this, again, remember the point of what's going on. They're about to go into the promised land. And just by establishing these cities and God explaining to it, what they are told is, hey, as you guys are about to go in, you are going to win. When you go into the land, you're going to possess the land that I, your God, have fought for and will give you. You're going to live in their towns. You're going to live in their houses. I'm going to go before you, and I'm going to be the one who drives it. So understand that even as he's giving to them, what they're being told when you step into this land, it's not by your might, it's not by your wisdom, it's not by your strength, but it's by the right hand of God that you will receive this promise. But it's a promise that he's given that you can take hold of. That he's saying that if you follow through with what I'm telling you, there are so much that I want to give you, and these promises are yours. They're just right there. Take that step in faith. Trust me and know you will possess this. Now, something else that Deuteronomy makes clear about these sanctuary cities that just really needs to be stepped back is that what God says in just this overall picture, that these cities of refuge, for the person to run to who is in fear of their life, what God says is, when you make the roads, I want them smooth, I want them clear. I want signs clearly posted. I want it so that when the person is in fear of their life to run to refuge, that it is a clear shot as quick as they can get there. I want the road to travel by to be easy. That as these cities of refuge, as we know God to be our refuge, what he's saying is to come to me, I have cleared out the path. I don't want any obstacles between man getting to my refuge. And all along Scripture, we've been seeing the signs that he's been placing, pointing towards, here's where to go. That God is not trying to hide these cities of refuge, that you have to work your way. You don't work your way to the city of refuge. He says, lay out the path clear, make it evident so that they can get there easily. He is not saying for you to find refuge in God, that you have to work up by climbing the mountains. No, make the road secure, make the path clear, and have signs clearly pointing so they know how to get there. Verse 12 of Numbers 35. Then they shall be cities of refuge for you from the avenger. that the manslayer may not die until he stands before the congregation in judgment. And of the cities which you give, you shall have 6 cities of refuge. You shall appoint 3 cities on this side of the Jordan, and 3 cities you shall appoint in the land of Canaan, which will be for cities of refuge. So again, you're going to have 3 on the east side of the Jordan, 3 on the west side of Jordan. And on the east, it's Bezer, which, interesting enough, means fortified. Ramoth, which means to be lifted up. Golan, which means exaltation. Kadesh, which means holy or sanctuary. Shechem, these are on the west side, means strength. It's talking about shoulders. And Hebron, meaning fellowship. So even these cities, the very names that they're given, is that this is the place of fortification, where to be lifted up and exalted. In the holy sanctuary where you receive strength and fellowship. Verse 15, these 6 cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there. Again, these cities of refuge that God wants you to clearly be able to get to. He wants his children, and he wants anyone to be able to get there as easy as possible. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, peace. And I want you guys to catch there, if you guys were looking at there in verse 15. Now looking at these cities of refuge, who is he saying can go to the city of refuge? The children of Israel, the stranger, the sojourner. Guys, he is calling everybody. That literally, God has said, I want these 6 cities of refuge. And I want the road clear. I want the signs pointing right there. And then he says, by the way, here's who you, my people, my children, have these cities for. For anyone. Anyone who finds themselves needing to flee can run to the city of refuge. That it is an open invitation to the children, to the stranger, to the sojourner. He's saying this is open to all, as so clearly then understood by John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 16, speaking of this man who strikes, he says, but if he strikes him with an iron implement so that he dies, he is a murderer, the murderer shall be put to death. And if he strikes him with the stone in the hand by which one could die, and he does die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall be put to death. Or if he strikes him with a wooden hand weapon by which one could die, and he does die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. The avenger of blood himself shall put the murderer to death. When he meets him, he shall put him to death. What a title, the avenger of blood. So who was this avenger of blood? Well, there's no police force in this day. That's not how this culture and this time works. So who it was? It was the firstborn son. The firstborn son was given the responsibility that if someone in your family was murdered, that firstborn son was given the responsibility to enact justice. That if someone murdered your family, you, the avenger of blood, firstborn, are to seek them out and to implement justice. Now, interesting enough, again, if you guys have gone through scripture with us from the beginning, going through Genesis and even Exodus, there's something interesting about this word, avenger of blood. The reason why is it is the word gaul. The reason that's interesting, it's the exact same word for kinsman redeemer. We're going to see later in scripture about Boaz, this kinsman redeemer. Clearly the picture of Christ and how he redeems his family. And so you go, wait a second. So we have this exact same word. So the avenger of blood is also the kinsman redeemer. Meaning that we have Jesus in both of those roles. Jesus is the kinsman redeemer, and he is the one who enacts justice as the avenger of blood. And as we see Jesus in both roles, I want us to think back to a scene that we saw recently with Phineas. And again, I know sometimes we struggle with moments like this, but what Phineas instituted was not murder, but in fact was called upon to act as Jesus would be known as the avenger of blood. He is the one to enact justice. And so what Phineas did was not brutal murder, but in fact was implementing justice, in which is where God goes, that's why you look like me. Now, as we continue on in verse 20, it says of this murderer, if he pushes him out of hatred or while lying in wait, hurls something at him so that he dies, or in enmity, he strikes him with his hand so that he dies, the one who struck him shall surely be put to death. He is a murderer. The avenger of blood shall put the murderer to death when he meets him. And I want you guys to even see that this goes beyond. We were given some examples of, hey, if he takes an iron like tool and whacks the guy and kills him, he's a murderer. If he takes a stone and goes, I want you dead, whack, and he dies, you're a murderer. If he looks at you and go, I want you to die, pow, and the dude dies, you're a murderer. Is he saying what these different manifestations of the act, really, he says, they came from somewhere. He says, if you did this out of hatred, the motive is so important here. It's the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. That he's saying, if you were angry with this person and you wanted them to be removed from this planet, and then you remove them from the planet, you are a murderer. Again, the matter, well, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. James chapter 1, verse 20 says, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. We don't have it in our human anger to act in that anger and to produce the righteous acts. Jesus would drive this home on his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. He says, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. That Jesus takes it to the another is to say, look, you may not have used a tool to smack somebody with. You may not have punched them in the face. He says that murder, it already took place in your heart. That where that stemmed from, and even it's not inconsistent with what we read. What they're saying is going, it does matter where the person was in their heart. Where were they when they acted on this? And Jesus is saying that murder, he takes it to the whole nother. It started here. That murder begins in the heart. Verse 22, however, if he pushes him suddenly without enmity or throws anything at him without lying in wait or uses a stone by which a man could die, throwing it at him without seeing him so that he dies while he was not his enemy or seeking his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the manslayer and the avenger of blood according to these judgments. So the congregation shall deliver the manslayer from the hand of the avenger of blood, and the congregation shall return him to the city of refuge where he had fled. So we have the situation where he's laying out, okay, so who is the manslayer? Who's the manslayer? It's just that. Manslaughter is unintentional. It was accident. This is the guy who is, you know, fooling around with his buddy, and he goes, you dork, and pushes his buddy, and it happens, guys. You hear about these horrible stories. He pushes his buddy falls over, hits his head on a rock, and dies, and he killed him. And they're saying that's not what we're talking about. He wasn't angry with his friend. He's saying, if you're just out in the woods and you're like, hey, check out this big rock. Guys in the room, you know what I'm talking about. Ladies, maybe you do too, but I'm saying, there's something that happens. Giant rock. I wonder how far I can throw this thing. So you're out in the woods and you chuck it, and then out comes some little boy and and when that happens, you go, oh man, that just happened. He's going, that's the manslayer. Game over. He's done. But what they're saying is, that wasn't premeditated. That wasn't with envy. In fact, actually, Deuteronomy gives us another illustration. And so for us, we're thinking about this, and it's like, where are you going to... Deuteronomy gives us an illustration. He says, in this case of a manslayer who flees there, that he may leave, whoever kills his neighbor unintentionally, not having hated him in time past, as when a man goes to the woods with his neighbor to cut timber. All right, hey, wood cutting time, bro. Let's go. We're going to go chop some wood. All right, they're out there. And the head of his... and the head slips from the handle and strikes his neighbor so that he dies. This is script. So you guys are out there with your buddy. You're chopping wood, and oh my gosh, I just killed my neighbor with my axe. He shall flee to one of those cities. So the city of refuge was set up for that person who was not with hatred, with malice, with enmity, wasn't trying to kill somebody. It happens. The murderer shall be put to death. Not all killing is murder. Unintentional, accidental. sometimes justified, as the Avenger of Blood can do. But this person who accidentally does this in ignorance, he says he shall flee to one of these cities and live, lest the Avenger of Blood, while he is while his anger is hot, pursue the manslayer and overtake him, because the way is long, and kill him, though he was not deserving of death, since he had not hated the victim in time past. And speaking of this man, so you accidentally kill somebody. You're just fooling around with a buddy. You're out chopping wood. You're throwing rocks around, and the kid came out of nowhere. You guys who were driving, you're driving down the road, he came out of nowhere. Maybe you're fooling around with your friend, and again, it happens. You're horsing around, and you're messing around, and you hear about these horrible scenarios, and you weren't trying to hurt somebody, and it happens. Again, there's no police force in this day, so the Avenger of Blood, the firstborn, hears your family member was in the woods, and his head got chopped off. It's your responsibility to enact justice. Well, so this manslayer would run to the city of refuge and get there, because they're saying, if the Avenger of Blood gets to you, he is there to enact justice. He's not there for murder. And so you got to get to this city of refuge. And it says of that person who gets to the city of refuge, he shall remain there until the death of the high priest who was anointed with holy oil. And again, guys, as we're seeing God our refuge. As the book of Hebrews is going to refer to Jesus in this amazing order of Melchizedek as this great high priest, the high priest, our high priest. Hebrews chapter 7 says, by so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, speaking of Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. But this he did once for all when he offered up himself. Jesus, our high priest, serving in that role, living forever to do the work, to bring the prayers, to make those petitions for you guys. I hope everyone in this room understands that. That if you have entered into a relationship with God through his son, that you have the son standing before the father praying for you. When you guys are going through these rough, hard times, when you guys are going through moments and you just, I wish somebody knew, I wish I could go to somebody with prayer. Sometimes you're like, I don't even know who I can trust to ask for prayer, because let's face it, sometimes asking for prayer becomes a giant gossip chain. Is to know that you have your God and Savior who is going before the Father continually praying for you, to make intercession for you. And that he gave of himself, he offered up that ultimate sacrifice of himself, that perfect sacrifice once for all. Verse 26 of Numbers says, but if the manslayer at any time goes outside the limits of the city of refuge where he fled, and the Avenger of Blood finds outside the limits of the city of refuge, and the Avenger of Blood kills the manslayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in his city of refuge until the death of the high priest. So this person who accidentally kills somebody, he goes before and says that he would stand before the congregation, and they look, and the people judge, and they go, okay, this was totally an accident. By the account of two or three witnesses. You can't just charge somebody with murder. He gives them the whole scene, and they say, okay, there's enough witnesses. We understand that this wasn't something that was intentional. This isn't somebody who hated somebody. And then he says, so the Avenger of Blood can justly kill you, but if you stay inside the city, he can't touch you. The city of refuge is a place where you can have that judgment pass over, just like God initiated in Exodus the Passover, where the blood of the lamb was seen. And he says, you must stay under the blood. My wrath is coming, but when I see the blood, I will pass over. But, he says, if you choose to step outside of that and justice finds you, you made that choice. A little bit of spoiler alert. We're going to get into the book of Joshua. We'll hear about the Battle of Jericho. They're going to meet a woman named Rahab. And when they come, they say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to tie this scarlet thread above your doorpost. And you and your family stay under that scarlet thread. And when we see that thread, we'll know, don't touch that. But they make the point to make it very clear. But if you or any of your family, you choose to step out from underneath that scarlet thread, your blood is on your head. That was your choice. And again, as we see in this city of refuge, is that God has provided a clear way. He has removed the obstacles. He has provided the place of refuge, but he makes it very clear. You have a high priest who lives forever. He has died once to remove the penalty of your sin. The cost of sin was death, and he paid that and offered that for you. And he lives to provide you with that eternal refuge. And if you step outside of that, that was your choice. You have the choice to experience Jesus as the refuge high priest or as the avenger of blood. That is your choice. How you will have that relationship with him will be by faith or without, and that will determine whether he is your kinsman redeemer or he is your avenger of blood. Unfortunately, we hear about First Timothy 4, that the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and will follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. In the book of John, Jesus makes something very clear. He makes it very clear. He says that he has you in his hand, and no one can snatch you out. Now, in this illustration that Jesus uses, when he uses that language and he says that I have you and no one can snatch you out, just before that, he speaks of these ravenous wolves. He says, I am the shepherd standing at the door, and the shepherd sees the wolves from a way off, and he doesn't run. And it says, and when the wolves come and attack, it's the same word for snatch. He says, I'm there to defeat them back. He says, no one can snatch you out of my... When you are in that place of refuge, no one is dragging you out. No one can snatch you out. But the same God, I said in Romans, he will give you over to the debased mind. You want to choose to walk out of this? He didn't pull you into the city of refuge and say, you stay in here, boy. He says, the way is open, the path is clear, and I have provided it for you. Stay inside. But if you step outside, righteous judgment awaits you. And that is your choice. No one can drag you out. I won't let them drag you out. You read in the book of Hosea, God whose heart is breaking. He's talking about how I want to wrap my arms around you. I want to hold on to you, but Ephraim, how can I let you go? I don't want to let you go, but I got to let you go. If you want to make that choice, I'll let you walk out the door. I didn't drag you into this relationship, and I'm not going to dunk your head in the water and say, stay with me. But he gives us this promise, seen in the city of refuge, that if you run to the tower of refuge, I am your high priest, and no one can lay a hand on you. And justice passes over. But you must stay there. Stay and live. It says, but after the death of the high priest, the manslayer may return to the land of his possession, and that these things shall be a statute of judgment to you throughout your generation and all your dwellings. Whoever kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death. If you guys look down there in verse 33, so you shall not pollute the land where you are, for blood defiles the land, and no atonement can be made for the land for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of him who shed it. So he's saying, if you find out that the person who ran to the city of refuge is a murderer, you can't say, well, now that you're here, it'd be kind of awkward to send you out. I mean, the avenger of blood's right out there. You can't do that. God cares about order and law and righteousness. And he says, to you who have ran here as a manslayer, as those who committed an act in ignorance, I have this place of refuge. If you are the murderer, he says, they shed that blood on purpose with anger, enmity, and hatred. And you can't spare that. In fact, he says, if you do that, that blood that was shed, it cries out. The blood cries out for blood. And if you don't take care of this justly, it will literally pollute the land. This is not something new. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, God says, whoever shed man's blood, by man's blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, he made him. That God is The sanctity of life is so important to God. He says, you can't just go around killing people, and that's not a big deal. It is a big deal. That's one of my image bearers. I formed them in their mother's womb. I intimately made them who I had planned for them. And I'm not going to just be okay with someone coming along and killing them with anger and malice and enmity like it's no big deal. A couple months ago, I went and saw the movie Shang-Chi. And as I was watching it, there's one line that just jumps out to me. And it was interesting because it was actually, the reason that they used it is that it was kind of like a Chinese proverb that was said over and over in Chinese television. So really what they were trying to do is for those who were used to watching old Chinese television shows is that when you heard it, you're like, oh, I know that phrase. It's like a phrase from Chinese television. And so they would have got that. But the phrase that they used, which, yes, I did some Google translating, kind of fun. But the phrase that they used was a blood debt must be paid in blood. It's said in that movie over and over. If you guys watch the movie, you're going to hear that phrase a couple times. A blood debt must be paid in blood. What's interesting is if you take the actual Chinese words for the words that they use and you translate it back over, what they're actually translating into, that phrase translates into an eye for an eye. And as we hear this phrase, is that the blood cries out for blood, and even something that spans continents, a blood debt must be paid in blood. I'm here to tell every single one of you that there is a blood debt on your life, for the wages of sin is death. But I'm also here to tell you that the God who loves you, who formed you, has plans for you. He paid that debt for you by his blood. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The blood debt must be paid in blood, and Jesus paid your debt that you never could. As we finish up this morning, looking at verse 34. Therefore, do not defile the land which you inhabit, in the midst of which I dwell. For the Lord dwell among the children of Israel. It's God saying, I want to live with you. I want to be with you. Guys, I hope you never get tired of hearing that or understanding that. You do not have a God who formed you, spin this world like a top and goes, oh, isn't that cool? Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. No. You have a God who he wants to be with you. He's saying, I don't want there to be this barrier. I want to dwell with you. I want to be in a place. He is a righteous, holy God, and he wants to be with you. And he says that injustice is in the land. It pollutes the land. That the death of the innocent is a big deal to him. Again, as we look at where our country is today, you have to stop and just ask yourself, we look about the crazy rate of abortion. You want to talk about a land that is polluted with the death of the innocent. And we look at that and say, this is a God who comes along and says, I'm not okay with that. Form them. I love them. And he loves you. And he's a God of law and order. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I'm not going to go too far into it, but guys, we can just see the effects. Just look around you and go, when we have societies and cities and towns and states that want to remove funding for those who provide law and order, and you look at who always ends up paying the price. It's the kids. You have rampant shootings all around in these areas, and you just go, I'm not okay with this. And yet, in the midst of all of that chaos, what has he clearly provided? Like, I am your city of refuge. I've removed every obstacle. The signs I've been pointing to, you can run. Run to him. But again, guys, that is the choice you have to make. He has made the way clear. He has made the signs evident to say, look, when you realize you are standing in the place of judgment, righteous judgment, you can run to your refuge. And he says, I have died once to pay the price. I have removed the cost of sin. And he lives forever to be your refuge. It is your choice. Will you stay there and live? Stay there and live. Live in his refuge. To be the one to point others to him and say, there is a place you can go where judgment passes over And the love of God fills us with to tell others there's a free place to run to. And who is it open to? To his children, to the stranger, to the sojourner. That is a place that he has said, I have made it available to everyone. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. For God so loved this world, he loved you, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Run to his refuge and live. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this time in your word this morning. Father, I just pray that as we hear of who you are, who you call us to be, Lord, thank you that we don't have to traverse some great mountaintop or work our way to your place, but Lord, you brought it down to us. You wanted the road to be clearly marked, free of obstacles, that we could run to you. Lord, to know that no matter where we are in our life, that you are right there. You place these cities throughout the land. God, that no matter where somebody was, when judgment befell them, they could run to the place of refuge. So, Father, again, we thank you for who you are. By the cross, who you have made us to be, would we delight in your refuge and live? In your Son's name. Amen.
The Cover to Cover series is part of No Mere Mortal. The No Mere Mortal ethos derived from the biblically grounded and inspired work of C.S. Lewis in A Weight of Glory. You can find more No Mere Mortal content, including the Cover to Cover series, on our website at nomeremortal.org. Follow us on Twitter, Truth, Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, and most major podcasting services. Subscribe, follow, like, comment, leave a review, and share. The music you've heard has been provided by Sicko, that's C-I-K-K-0, and you can find him at YouTube at SickosBeatSuck797. My name is Bryce, and you are No Mere Mortal.